So in case you missed it somehow, Mark Zuckerberg announced that there would be some changes to Meta platforms, at least in terms of moderating social media, where the restrictions on what you are allowed to say will be loosened, and to the point where there's practically no fact-checking whatsoever. A disastrous policy decision in terms of, I think Meta publicly traded. Yeah, publicly traded social media company making decision to just allow free-for-all on their platforms. Harmful to society in numerous ways. I mean, there's a reason why over the course of the past 20 years, every major platform that offers any kind of social interaction largely has, they've all landed on the same general decision when it comes to moderating user posted content. And there's a reason for that. I mean, if you don't do that, you will eventually arrive at a place where your platform becomes 4chan, if not even more Nazi prevalent. And then that scares away.
But it's so crazy because did you see the article? Which was it? TechCrunch, I think. And it was how people could delete their Facebook, their Threads, and their IG, but how they could download their data, their pictures, and basically archive it like you can archive on X-Chan. Yeah. But they were saying that there was like a meeting that they had on what is acceptable and there's a thing and it says allow or deny when it comes to like certain comments. And they were like, oh, so you can direct comments at a racial group, a freaking gender group with the LGBTQ community. You can't directly attack a person.
Yeah, but you can attack the larger.
But you group. Can attack. Yeah, you can say, you can't say you're a nigger, but you can say I hate niggas. Yes. That's different.
All gays are pedophiles. Yes, it's out of control. So yes, the way in which people are allowed to comment on marginalized communities on Meta platforms now is insane. You can find numerous examples of it, surprisingly, on Twitter, because again, that place is also unmoderated. So those comments don't get, I mean, even like the screenshots of comments on those other platforms don't get.
I do want to point out is that people act like Zuckerberg and Facebook hasn't been a cesspool for a minute. It's just been in a different kind of fucking way. I mean, they've allowed Russian bots to storm. I mean, come on, Cambridge Analytica, we can never forget that shit. So are we really surprised?
No, Zuckerberg's been in the bag of Republicans since 2016. And I think largely that is due to the idea that he believes congressional regulation by the federal government, it will be harmful to his bottom line. But again, capitalism, man, like not everything needs to necessarily.
His bottom line is like 3,000 leagues under the sea. He's a goddamn billionaire. Okay. But whatever.
We have convinced ourselves as a nation that the most important thing in life is to make as much money as possible, even though only a handful of Americans will ever get remotely close to making as much money as possible. And it's allowed a lot of egregious and unsavory behavior that is, at the end of the day, results in large negative impacts for every single American and the world at large. But again, I'm not going to give a dissertation on the evils of unfettered capitalism. And this is someone who's like, yeah, I'm largely pro-capitalism, except for in the extremes, right? It's great for people in the middle. It is terrible for people at the bottom. And it awards an atrociously dangerous amount of power and influence to people at the top. And, we should, it's too late now, but we should install some systems to protect the people at the bottom and limit the people at the top from having unbalanced and unfair influence and control. For sure. Too late. I mean, look, we've elected the billionaire president. Like Elon Musk is who I'm speaking of now. We've got President Elon Musk, richest man in America from largely. I mean, every once in a while, he might trade places with Bezos here and there, and he'll be back up in a couple of months. We've also got Vice President Trump, who is probably now officially a billionaire. I mean, I don't know what his net worth is on paper, but he's probably, you know, by the time you balance in his losses and all his debt, maybe a few years ago, he probably wasn't actually a billionaire, but I'm sure he is now, especially with all of the all of the billionaires pouring money into his pocket and all of the foreign connections involved investing in Trump's companies. And we've got numerous tech billionaires and other billionaires sending millions of dollars to him for his inauguration, even though we've never discovered what happened to the funds from the inaugural his inauguration in 2016, where he raised over $120 million, and his inauguration looked like it cost a fraction of that. Never figured out where that money went. I'm assuming it was laundered into shell companies that eventually funneled the money and the funds back to him. I mean, we're about to have a repeat of that. Hope someone's investigating that.
Got her own bag, her $40 million bag. She's got her own money now.
So Jeff Bezos is pouring $40 million directly into Trump's pocket with this biographic. I don't want to call it a biography.
Straight into Melania's purse. And that was how he bribed her to like be seen with him more times, I think, in the last 2 weeks.
That's not what it is.
Like,
we'll give you $40 million. We'll give you $40 million for this documentary that's probably not worth $1 million if you'll go to the White House. Is that what it is? So you don't embarrass Trump?
Well, I don't know. With the Pornhub ban, how are MAGA going to be able to see the documentary?
Well, I live in Tennessee, and I think our state Supreme Court kind of overturned that ban, or at least stated.
Have you seen Tennessee? You live in Tennessee. All them motherfuckers freaky.
Hey,
all them Republicans.
I gotta tell you, if dudes down here ain't able to beat off, I would be concerned about the impacts that might have on civil life. Because dudes down here it's a lot going on. I don't know if you all listening to this pay attention to Tennessee politics, but it's insane down here. Like, I know, like, Texas and Florida get a lot of attention because they're huge, but Tennessee is actually, I would say Florida light, but Florida is likely Tennessee light in that, like, because their insanity gets so much attention, they kind of take their foot off the gas pedal. No, it's insane down here, buddy. Now, I live in a blue dot. Like, my city is awesome, as are most blue cities in the South. They're largely, you know, bastions of what you would like society to largely be in the former Confederate states. But the rest of the state, man, it's out of control. And Memphis is its own beast. It is as different from the rest of Tennessee as Atlanta is from the rest of Georgia. I can't even describe.
Tennessee.
Well, that's all right. So that I don't participate in that form of, I don't participate in that form of economic. So Tennessee is weirdly placed in that is. It is a kind of a pit stop on the road to other cities along the eastern seaport and vice versa in Florida to New York and Michigan and Ohio and whatnot in terms of trafficking of the drugs. Now, I don't know what the current drug prices go to. Again, I'm not involved in that market, but I can I can certainly tell you. You are not getting keys for 10 apiece at this point in time. Prices have gone up. Now, maybe if you're buying hundreds of pounds, you might can get it down to 15. I would suggest you not even get yourself involved in that endeavor. It's a haphazard business. The life expectancy in that line of work is akin to being a coal miner. You might want to stay far from that.
You might live longer as a coal miner.
And I would say in terms of like health benefits, it's probably similar, coal mining. Anyway, but Trump, President Biden had comments on Meta's reversal in terms of platforming liars and disinformation.
On Meta's decision to end its fact-checking operations in the United States. Is that a good decision, in your opinion?
Well, look, The whole idea of walking away from fact checking, as well as not reporting anything having to do with discrimination regarding the TPS, I find to be just contrary to American justice, American, the way we talk about one another. Telling the truth matters. I mean, it's a... I know I'm on national television, but you all are local reporters and national reporters. This is not a legit, real question, but what do you think? You think it doesn't matter that they let be printed where millions of people read it, things that are simply not true? I mean, I don't know what that's all about. It's just completely contrary to everything America's about.
Mr. Biden, I can tell you what it's about. If you rewind the tape back to 1930s Germany, I know we've been doing a lot of that lately, and I'm sorry to continue upon this track of comparing the Trump administration to the Nazi Party of early 1930s Germany. But
well, I mean, it tracks. So.
It tracks. So one of the ways in which the Nazi Party won an election despite being a minority party and worked their way all the way up to being not only a controlling majority, but a single party nation is the elimination of factual information being presented to the public. Disinformation ran rampant. They did a lot to encourage the media to not only spread lies and disinformation, but they eventually just took outright control of the entire media apparatus in Germany at the time, which was largely radio and print journalism. I mean, you know, journalism works differently in 2024. Now we don't necessarily rely on journalistic outlets to inform the country, but they do inform the people and influencers who spread that information. And now disinformation will be allowed to spread like wildfire, the same way it did as the Nazi Party took power. And, you know, again, we saw how that ended. Fingers crossed America doesn't end up following the same route. But hey, look, we just had an election where we had a presidential candidate outright quoting Hitler. So don't know what to tell you in that regard. But yeah, Biden's right. It's absolutely disgusting. Mark Zuckerberg not having his, you know, multi-billion-dollar platforms engage in some kind of reasonable journalistic fact-checking when it comes to the spreading of false information is just, it's outright absurd. But again, you know, this is what happens. This is what happens when you have a Hitler-like figure or a Putin-like figure take power, right? The people understand that if we want to survive financially, we either have to unite and fight that individual as a whole, or they're going to have to buy his affections, which never really works. It never works. I mean, appeasing a dictator.
Well, no, because look, even after ABC gave that $15 million, then Brendan Carr, the FCC, and he was like, oh, you paid that $15 million, so you admitted you defamed him. So now we have to look into this. Like, it's never, it's like, what? We do not negotiate with terrorists. Like, there's a reason for that saying. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the factual nature of negotiating with terrorists as it pertains to that statement is largely overblown, but the sentiment stands. There's a reason it exists, because oftentimes negotiating with terrorists or trying to appease a dictator just encourages the dictator or the terrorist to ask for more until there's no more left to give, at which point you become expendable. So, yeah, or complicit. There's also the point where you've poured so much time and investment financially and otherwise into these unruly figures that you become complicit in their bad actions. And then it becomes extraordinarily difficult for you to disentangle yourself from engaging in further harm to whatever party. But yeah, good luck, guys. It's going to be rough out there over the course of the next 4 years. I mean, I would imagine at some point, like once they get through working their way down from all of the important political figures and harassing news and media outlets and such, they'll probably work their way back down to me and Utah.
Okay, we'll see how much time we have. I'll get my pogrom go back.
What do we wear in the? Do we get like the gray jumpsuits? Do we get stripes? Are we going to get tattoos?
I don't want stripes. I think I'd rather have gray or one of those like dingy brown.
Oh, like the Siberian Russia jumpsuit. Yeah, yeah, got it. Yeah. Yeah, do we get, we don't need
gold. Griner wear. It's a show of solidarity. I'll take that.
And like, we got her back though. And she's like, I got escape Russian captivity to come back to this shit.
American captivity. Get the fuck out of here.
At least we won't have to wear stars. You know, we're already marked by our skin color, so we don't need the extra.
That is true.
Accessories.
That is true. That's going to be all we need. That they don't have to mark us. Just the pink mafia, the rainbow mafia, or.
Yeah, I'm sure there's someone listening to this like, you guys are really minimizing the harm that's going to come to everyone. No, we understand and we're making light of it.
We are fully aware. I am fully aware.
We are making light of it in the sense of colored glasses. Oh yeah, no, we can only make light of it in the sense that as being part of a historically oppressed and marginalized group, that we're extraordinarily comfortable with the idea that we just gonna have to tough it the fuck out. That's just how it is.
Exactly. And that's what I said. I'm like, you know, you white women.
No offense, white women. Novel,
y'all about to fuck around and find out. And see me, yeah, I'm a sufferer too, but I'm used to being a marginalized class. Yeah. And see, we always live on the edge of we can go back. Because they've always been attacking us, regardless of the progress.
We are constantly aware of the fact that we might always go back.
60 years. We're constantly like living on that edge. So, like when I don't know if it was called activism or I think it was called activism, and then it was like, you know, what do you think about Obama and sitting next to Trump? And then people were like, oh, look there, and I said, honestly, I'm indifferent. He's Obama's nothing if not gracious. However, as a Black person, I know what it's like to move in spaces and having to put on that face and smile and laugh when your coworker tells that N-word joke.
Obama is on the clock. Like, the people complaining about Obama have never seen a Black person on the clock.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
This how we got to move at work.
Do
I don't know what to tell you.
We survived jobs and didn't get fired because when he comes in, he goes, "Hey, what do you call a Black guy?" And the walks into the bar, and then something ends with the N word, and you're like, "Ah, Charles, that was a good one." Like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, we don't have a fucking choice.
All right, people take this for granted, right? So a majority of the Black population in the United States to this day still lives in the South, right? And do they understand what that means? Probably not. It means that Black people historically for the past 160, 70 years now have had to learn through just multiple encounters with our former oppressors how to navigate through life, causing the least amount of harm to ourselves and our communities. And like the distillation of that can be seen
keeping a job.
And keeping a job, even though they for the longest time wouldn't even allow us to have jobs, no matter how skilled we were in any particular form of labor or otherwise. The distillation of that principle can clearly be seen in Obama sitting there at the funeral of President Carter and having to yuck it up because for unfortunate reasons, he got sat next to Trump because his wife was she's out of the country, right?
She's in Hawaii.
Oh, okay. She's in Hawaii.
Yes, she's out of the country.
Yeah, she was otherwise she was otherwise occupied and unavailable to attend the funeral. Therefore, former President Obama got seated next to Trump and had to yuck it up for the cameras because the country is watching. And if he behaved in a manner of which most of us other Black people would likely engage in if we were to be forced to sit next to Trump, it would cause a spectacle. And the one thing Obama ain't never done in his entire life is cause no spectacle.
If he didn't engage or look stoic in any way, it would have been angry Black man. See, he's so divisive. It would have been let Karen Pence, let mother take that heat.
Yeah.
She's white. It's okay.
Yep. When a white person don't want to shake Kamala Harris' hand, people just, you know, they boohoo it, but there's really no political consequences.
when they're like, what was he laughing about? You know, Obama could have been laughing in his mind thinking this motherfucker just said that. Yeah, yeah, right. It, you know what I mean? He was laughing because, you know, Trump told him a hearty hard hard. Like,
now, on the flip side, Kamala Harris did take a peek back there to look at them like, bro, she what did, are you doing? Man, and you know what? You know what Obama did when she was looking? He shut the fuck up.
I'm gonna have to watch that again. I didn't.
It was like watching Friday. Obama was like,
she gave him that mom in church energy.
No. She gave him that Debo look, and Obama was like, Debo be like, shut the fuck up, and I'd be quiet. But when he leave, I'd be talking again.
I mean, I did love seeing Mother. She didn't even stand up and ignore him. She sat down. But I did love how George and Laura walked right past.
Hey, man, that was crazy.
I had to watch that. I rewound that clip like 5 times because I was like, did I miss something? Did I see what I just saw? And it was like they were not even there. And then when Pence was, when Mother was sitting down, and I didn't know that they'd been married 44 years. He doesn't look that old. And I know that she was married before, but see, everybody keeps saying, you know, well, what do you expect? He tried to kill her husband.
Oh, and her. She was there.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. But they keep leaving out. She was there on January the 6th with their young child.
For sure.
Who all three of them is like, no, you didn't just put my husband. Nah, fuck him. You put my daughter in danger, my fucking child, because you guys were like 40 feet away. Fuck you.
Yeah, it really goes. It really goes and said that Pence's whole family was at the Capitol on January 6th, and Trump tried to also have them murder. Also, just quick note, Melania's hair. It looked like her hairdresser is Joy Taylor's hairdresser. Like her hairdresser was like, I'm filing a lawsuit and I'm out of here. I don't know what was going on.
What the fuck was going on with her in general? I mean, like, you know, because she always just kind of, you know, she spends what, $400,000 a year on her stylist, you know?
But ain't got no style.
And then her hair. That look, it was like a new version of The Handmaid's Tale. Like she was like promoting the new robes and such that we would have to wear at that point. I don't get it. I don't. And someone had pointed out whatever that little design was on her collar. I guess someone had blown it up. I don't know. They didn't show the source because, you know, Derek, the guy, he's always doing the breakdown on the fashion.
Yes. Our favorite fashion expert had blown it up.
And it was this man, this naked man and woman embraced, and, you know, kind of one of those artsy fartsy type, but that you might see in a museum. And then her titty was on him, and her ass cheeks was on the ground. You could see her ass cheeks on the ground. And I was like, wow, that was
something. No, but in her hair, it just looked like, Karen. She looked like Karen Bass. It was insane.
Oh, and the on the upside down program when she was reading it. No.
Man, that was bananas. Barack Obama having to show white people how to read is incredible turn of events. All right, quickly before we get out of here. So, in a total shift from what we've been covering previously on the podcast, Drake released a freestyle. I not personally released it. I believe it was released on Instagram by way of the producer that goes by the moniker The Conductor. It was extraordinarily interesting. It's called Fighting Irish Freestyle, and it's noteworthy for a couple of things. We'll play that for you real quick.
I love you.
Yeah. The summer is over, I missed it. Barrett was smoking, I kissed it. Ferris showed us the renders for Texas. It's unrealistic. Cut him the check, because I hate reviewing the budgets and limits. Just pay the minimum. The world fell in love with the gimmicks. Even my brothers got tickets. Seemed like they loved every minute. Just know the shit is personal to us, and it wasn't just business. Analyzing behavioral patterns is somewhat suspicious. Niggas was never happy for me when I run up the digits, or when I'm breaking world records still as I guzzle a Guinness, or when I get my fifth made back cause the color is different. Remember we traded watches, I gave you the Arabic dial, you gave me a numbered edition. You would even check up on my son like a pediatrician. Sure convinced the gang that shit was rooted in love when it isn't. Show me how different we are, there's blessings in juxtaposition. I guess now you boys gotta abandon your summer tradition. Cold shoulders I gave in the Hamptons, it come with the distance. Figured we was always gonna be close like ovens and kitchens. I was sadly mistaken, the loyalty wasn't a given.
It's all good.
And niggas cry the blues for you saying it wasn't malicious. Talking about we family, well I'm not the cousin to visit. God forbid we ever gotta tarnish your public image. All that brother talk as if I really discovered a sibling. 6 degrees, my memories retrieving our humble beginnings. Niggas wanted trouble, grabbed a shovel and dug up some ditches. Cover my body in dirt, but that wasn't mean.
That wasn't mean.
Not bad, not bad. That's pretty tight.
Well, it's something. So first of all, we're not going to do a super deep lyrical analysis on that because we're not a rap podcast. Although I am fond of the rap genre. It is my favorite. I have actually written some songs myself, and you can check those out on the Spotify or whatever if you so choose. D Night, obviously. Anyway, so a couple of things. If you're unaware, somehow at this point, Drake lost a fairly monumental rap battle with another super popular artist, Kendrick Lamar, over the course of 2024, in a song in which Kendrick Lamar called Drake a PDF file. I don't know, like, that's how the YouTubers tend to call it, but yes, he basically suggested that Drake engages in sexual relations with underage women. Now, I don't particularly think that Drake is a pedophile, although, like, candidate. So, Drake is Canadian, and Canadians are strange. And also the age of consent up there is 17. You can make of that what you will. That's not a defense of anyone. Drake is almost 40, dating an adult. In the midst of the aftermath of that battle, Kendrick Lamar held a concert that was shown on Amazon Prime, the Pop Out in LA, Ken and Friends and whatnot, to which LeBron attended, and he was dancing along and singing at the songs and looked like he wanted to hop on stage with Kendrick Lamar. And if you're familiar with Drake and LeBron's relationship, they've been super buddy-buddy for over a decade now at this point, I think. I think weirdly Drake has a tattoo of LeBron James on him somewhere on his arm. I believe.
Oh dear.
Extraordinarily weird. If you notice the title of the song again, it's called Fighting Irish Freestyle in reference to LeBron James's high school team, which was the Irish. So there's the connection there. Of note, Drake is throwing numerous shots at what he perceives to be a fake friend who was not down with him in the midst of this beef. And, you know, depending on how you feel about it, like if I was with my homeboys and somebody dropped a song and the whole country was singing it and it was calling me a pedophile and my homie was out there at the concert dancing around, you know, IG playing the dude songs, I would feel some kind of way. I feel like if that's the homie, dog, that's what fair. Is he doing? Fair enough. But at the same time, if I'm a rapper and like I have a huge platform, what I ain't gonna do is cry about it in a song in front of the whole world in a way that everybody knows exactly who I'm talking about. Now, in terms of the verses itself, like, look, anyone who hates Drake, you're probably gonna be like, oh, Drake sucks. Drake does not suck. He has his flaws. Even his music has some flaws. But largely that song was, you know, lyrically, it has the same thing every classic Drake song has. It's like 80% dope bars, 15% filler, and then like 5%. Oh, yeah, that dude is from Canada. That's right. Where he just say some weird shit. Like I thought we'd always be close, like ovens and kitchens. Bro, ovens are in kitchens. Is that like a reference to you and LeBron being so close?
I don't know. Maybe he should have said like fridges and freezers.
That's what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying right there. You know, like we live in America and we make like normal references where we understand like the context of even like a metaphor, like close, like fridges and freezers. And this dude is making a reference like me and LeBron are so close that it's like LeBron is in me. That's not a title. Like, is someone who is not a professional musician or an artist in that regard, but I do understand like the basic concepts of writing a song. That is not a reference that I would have made. And largely that's because ovens are
maybe
not.
Maybe ovens and kitchens do things a little different in Toronto.
Man, maybe. Maybe. ovens and dining rooms. Like, maybe your dining room is adjacent to your kitchen, and that would have made a look. I don't understand that. And like, so there is also a line in the song where he's talking about, didn't want to have to dirty your image. And that could be talking about a number of people, but given that the song is largely directed at his relationship with LeBron James, he could be insisting that there is probably some secrets or dirty laundry in LeBron James's past.
There's some tea out there.
Yes. Now, again, this is another issue of like the difference between your, I mean, I don't know if there's that much of a difference, but like where the normal American will look at that and be like, dog, is you really out here about to spill the tea on LeBron James? No, you do not. We do not snitch on the homies, even if they out here running around with other women. I'm sorry. We just don't do it. Like, and look, again, I'm not saying whether that's right.
That's some bitch shit. Like, no, we don't do that.
No, bro. We just don't do that. They're just not like, and you don't rat on your girls. I'm sure there's like some kind of girl code that I may not be familiar with because I'm not a woman. I don't know. But like, dudes just out here ain't ratting on dudes like that. And if you out here even suggesting that you might possibly do that in the song, that's the lamest possible shit ever. Now, that started a rumor firestorm on the internet about the possibility of LeBron James stepping out on his wife. And that was further fueled by some leaked DMs between Drake and another individual where he compared his lawsuit against his record label UMG, where he was accusing them of inflating the streams of his rival's song, the one that called him a child molester in all, generally speaking, him and his crew. He compared that to Nike engaging in a campaign to paint LeBron James out as a cheater, which is just a weird reference to make for that to be at the top of your mind when you're even considering, you know, what the lawsuit is like. So that led to even more speculation. And then we had none other than DJ Academics. If you're familiar with his work, he's a live streamer who engages he covers music content in his own particular way. He had a few comments on the situation surrounding LeBron James and his wife and their relationship and the activities that Drake and LeBron might have engaged in the past. And Jesus Christ, man, this is out of control right here.
News flash for LeBron. Yo, LeBron, I talked to enough whores in Canada. I've talked to enough people. Maybe Drake will keep teasing it. Let me just tell you what I've heard. Yo, LeBron, you and Drake used to go on two mans, okay? You've been cheating on your goddamn wife. Drake used to facilitate the host. And basically, essentially, you can't dance to a song about him being a pedophile. He used to supply you with the bitches. I'm sorry, my nigga. Yes, if I'm Drake, I snitch on you too. Sorry, buddy. You can't do that. No. You've been living a lie, and everybody been thinking you're this perfect guy. But when you come to Canada, I know some of the whores. When you come to Canada, you know, you come to certain places. I'm supplying you with the white women you love. You don't even like black chick. White women. I'm the guy. So when I bring the tings, and I'm hooking you up, when Kendrick drops a song saying certified lover boy, certified pedo, you're the first one to say, whoa. Me and Drake done did some two-mans. He ain't never bring no underage girl. What the fuck?
All right, so.
Why was he so angry?
All right, so if you're not familiar.
Does he have Stephen A. Smith syndrome?
If you're not familiar, that is a thing. If you're not familiar with Academics' work, he is the number one Drake stan on the internet. He is the stan of all stans. I don't think I've ever seen any one person, man or otherwise, stand for another man like that in my life. It's more insane than like the deadheads that follow the Grateful Dead around for 25 years straight and didn't miss a concert. I've never seen anything like it. Just first of all, Academics is probably going to face the largest defamation lawsuit we've ever seen in the history of lawsuits. Like, out here accusing LeBron of basically cheating on his wife and trying to ruin his public reputation.
I can see black people dragging him for filth. But
it is, you know what? It's who, LeBron or Academics? It's like 50-50.
No, Academics.
No, it's It's insane out there. And so look, the rumors have been following LeBron around for years about, you know, such kind of behavior on LeBron's part. But again, like anyone who's in the public image, the degree that LeBron is, especially with his spectacular record as far as his public image is concerned, like the fact that the dude has gone this long with not a single public scandal is actually incredible. But yeah, so.
Actually, it is. But I never really looked at LeBron and saw him as a perfect guy outside, like off of the court. Just one, because he's a professional basketball player. So I already have preconceived notions anyway. And I also know that a lot of relationships they have, their wives are unbothered and that they like, I got the ring, bitch. You just
a piece. True story. So I mean, if you want to zoom business, out for a second in macro, yes. Like when it comes to celebrities, like let's be honest here, people like to have sex. And when you're like a superstar celebrity, you have more access to just sexual conquest than the average person could ever possibly dream of. So people in these positions have, not always, but quite often have a different kind of arrangement with their significant other than the average person on the street might have. And so whatever LeBron James is doing in private as it pertains to other, I don't know. I can't speak on that. I don't know. But if that's true, it's entirely possible him and his wife, like, she understands.
Not shocking to me.
She understands the game, right? And look, and it's not just men. Like female celebrities have sex too. Surprise, surprise. Welcome to reality. Congratulations. But saying that, look, academics making that accusation so fervently with no evidence to present whatsoever is rather insane.
It's so in depth.
Like. Yeah, it's crazy. It's absolutely wild that academics is such a Drake stan that he is out here burning Drake and LeBron at the same time because LeBron's feelings was hurt. Drake's feelings was hurt because his boy was out here dancing to another rapper song. It's absolutely wild. Now, I would say if I was LeBron, I would just not comment on this whatsoever because at the end of the day, LeBron has made this point once before upon losing in the finals to Golden State, the time that they got swept, where he almost won game one single-handedly, but J.R. Smith didn't know how much time was left on the clock. And he made a comment, I believe, after the game. It might have been after the finals, where he said, at the end of the day, you get to go home and be you, and I get to go home and be me, LeBron James. And I would suggest he keep that same energy because at the end of the day, no matter what DJ Academics say about you, dog, you know what? Ain't nobody else got down 3 games to 1 finals comeback against the winningest team in the history of basketball. So he ain't got to think about this shit. Just relax, dog. Man, Academics, man.
It's beneath him. You what the fuck you gonna respond to a podcaster? Like, dude, like you, like, even though he's like looked 40 since he was 12, how old is he? He's been in what, 20?
Yeah, LeBron is currently 40 years old.
Okay, so he's 40, and then he drafted right after high school.
Yes,
so
age of 18.
22 years, and his career, he's got nothing to prove. And like I said, I don't look at, if anything, I'm always throwing some side eye at a professional athlete in any genre. If you don't have any of that smut in your life, I'm surprised because I just, to me, it just goes with territory. And like I said, I'm not in their household and that's between him and his wife. Whatever they got, like, it's not something that I'm entire, like, shocked by that. Oh God, when you was in Toronto, I used to get hoes for you. And I'm not really telling, you know, because of course he's not going to go cruising. Like, of course they all got handlers, people that, you know, go out and, oh, you this type or, you know, some, or, you know, whoop, doo, whoop.
Like no, celebrities like at that stature, especially if they're in a committed relationship, you know what they ain't doing? They ain't going out to the bar like you and me with the homeboy to meet the host. I don't care what Academic says.
No, they bringing you up to the room where there's some bottles, there's some music. Yeah. You go kick it for a
put
little
your phone
bit,
away.
Everybody gonna leave and then whoop, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like they don't rock like us you know, regular folk, how, you know, all the Republicans always getting caught doing some dirt out in the trenches because they ain't got nobody like that to procure it for them.
Yeah, but Matt Gaetz, for instance.
So it's like, you're not saying anything shocking to say that you pulled some bitches for a professional athlete.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Okay.
Now, I would say...
they were white. I'm not shocked. I mean,
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yes, a black athlete has never had sex with a white woman before.
Never. Not in the history.
Not in the history of sports. No, but what I would say.
What are you talking about?
What I would say is just the most ironic part.
He looked like he was about to crack.
He does that quite often. It's extraordinarily performative, but he also partly means it. No, I would say what's the most ironic part of all of this is that the entire world laughed at Drake when he filed this lawsuit against his record label and didn't even file a lawsuit against Kendrick Lamar for defamation. If LeBron decides to, in fact, file a lawsuit against academics, for defamation, that the world will likely applaud because DJ Academics is kind of a fucking moron. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.